And the tempter came and said to him, If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, we see the word temptation in today's gospel. And how appropriately does the church put this gospel before our eyes the first Sunday of Lent, when Jesus goes through his complete and total fast from food for 40 days and 40 nights. In case anybody doubted that he waited till sundown to eat, no, it was complete and total fast. Certainly is inspiring for us who observe a much more mitigated fast and penance. Our own Savior, he who has no sin to atone for, of his own, obviously, nevertheless teaches us how to do penance. Before he ever speaks about it, he goes and does it first. Then he says, follow my example. He doesn't just tell us, do it, and not show us the example. He's showing us the example today also how to fight temptation. Remember that a temptation is not a sin, but it leads to sin if it's not fought against. God allows temptation. Well, because we're fallen. That's just our natural inclination. Are we naturally inclined to sin? We naturally incline to forbidden pleasure. And on top of that, we have the devil working on us as well. And the world is trying to pull at us to be worldly, to be materialistic, sensual, be caught up in the things of this life. But nevertheless, despite all that, God allows temptation because God brings good out of temptation when it's fought against. When a person falls into temptation, then a tragedy happens. Sin happens, and sin is always a tragedy, especially mortal sin. But when a person fights against temptation, pushes it away, mortifies himself or herself, prays more, and in fact is growing in virtue because you get stronger by fighting. You see why God allows temptation. Of course, God would love to see that happen. So that's the good that God brings out of temptation. We grow spiritually. We're forced to grow spiritually. We'd like to take the easier way out, but this temptation is in front of us, trying to lure us away. And we have to go to battle. Actually, we have to be ready for battle every day of our lives. The devil isn't going away, is he? Your own fallen nature isn't going away, is it? The world's not going away. It's not going to try to, or it's not going to stop trying to lure us away. And remember, our fallen nature is always going to be our biggest enemy. We can blame some things on the devil. We can't blame everything on the devil. We are our own worst enemy, our fallen nature, our Adam self. That's why the spiritual writers say we have to die to self. But this is how we grow. This is why there's so much reward and merit for having been a faithful soldier. As St. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. We want to all be able to say that at the end of our lives, whenever that is, whenever the good Lord will call us. I have fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. When does a temptation become sin? I would like to remind you of the three steps of temptation, so to speak. The first one is suggestion. The second one, second step, is attraction. And it's only the third step that the temptation becomes a sin. You fall into the sin. So let's examine all three of these steps, shall we? And when we look at today's gospel, we see that our Lord himself experienced the first step of temptation. He who is all holy nevertheless allowed the devil, because our Lord couldn't be tempted through his fallen nature. He had a most infinitely holy nature united to his human nature, united to his divinity. But the devil could at least suggest a bad thing to him, and that's exactly what he did. In the first temptation, he suggested gluttony. In other words, seeking pleasure for its own sake. And of course, there's many different kinds of seeking pleasure for its own sake, without where it doesn't fulfill the God-given purpose. He suggested to him, the devil saw that he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Why don't you just gorge yourself? Turn these stones into bread. You can do it. And Jesus immediately resists the suggestion. That's the lesson for all of us. Don't fight it. Don't let it get to the second, or worse yet, to the third step, because that's the third step is where the sin happens. Jesus teaches us, reject the suggestion immediately. The second suggestion was to pride. Throw yourself off this cliff and ask God to send his holy angels to catch you. What does Jesus do? Again, he immediately dispels the suggestion. And he's doing it with, he's quoting scripture. Isn't this interesting? The devil is quoting scripture. The wicked one is using the holy word of God. You see how God's word can be misused, misapplied, misinterpreted? Thank God, as Catholics, we have the Catholic Church to give us the true interpretation of scripture. But here the devil himself is quoting God's holy word to get our Lord to try to commit a sin. That's how clever the devil is. He will even use something apparently good to get us to fall into sin. It will only be apparently good. It will never really be good. Our Lord immediately dispels that suggestion. And then the third is his ultimate, I'll give you everything, just worship me. How? Can't say infinitely, because the devil isn't infinite, but if there could be an infinite wickedness, that would be it. I didn't want to worship God. I want to be worshiped as God. I'll give you everything. You know, there are people that fall for this, that literally accept this suggestion. Yes, you give me everything and I'll worship you. Maybe not explicitly, but implicitly, I will worship you. Many people do this. But our lesson again today is very, very clear. Stop temptation at the first step. If you let it get to the second step of attraction or pleasure, technically you haven't sinned yet, but you're in great danger. It's a fine line between the second step and the third step. And then it's too late. The sin has happened. The evil has been done. Our Lord has been scourged and crucified by that sin. Stop sin at the outset. Remove yourself from the occasion of sin. How the devil loves to see people toy with temptation. How he loves to see them put themselves in proximate real danger of sinning. That's exactly what he wants. So many near occasions of sin, are there not? Let's not kid ourselves, not fool ourselves. We live in the age of the internet. How many souls are dragged to hell through that? They put themselves in danger. They weren't fighting the suggestion. They went to the second step, and then they went to the third, and the deed was done. Takes great virtue. Sometimes it takes heroic virtue to get out of the danger when you see it. When it's in front of your face, run away. Don't dialogue with the danger. If you do, you're going to fall. Follow our Lord's example. He gives us all the wonderful example in today's gospel. He's weakened by his fasting, humanly speaking. Imagine how weak you would feel after 40 days and 40 nights of no eating. The devil thought he could capitalize on our Lord's weakness. But our Lord, again, even though he could never technically be tempted, nevertheless, he allowed that first step to happen of suggestion. But he teaches us again so well, our beloved Lord and Savior and Redeemer. Have a blessed Lent. Put your heart into it. We will benefit most immensely from our prayer, our fasting, and our alms deeds. May our suffering Lord, and our sorrowful Mother be with you in this holy season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.